Greetings, this is the Automatically Deleted Husband, and I'm having some beeping issues with program. Since my message that I leave to my wife, my assumption is, gets just simply deleted, I'll leave the recording going, but obviously, we don't need this beeping. But anyway, greetings! I have a question that I've been working on that I would like a response. I'd like an answer because I don't have a good response. But just so you know, I'm a little late tonight. I was kind of busy today because I just got back from Denmark. I was doing some work underwater there near the Denmark has these islands, and one of the large islands, I was doing some water work underwater there, and it took me a while to get back. You get that, don't you? Yeah, of course not. Anyway, Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 apparently were sabotaged. Because you can see it's bubbling from underwater. And they're both been shut down. Nord Stream 2 was never turned on, but it's under pressure, because, these are these big, huge undersea pipes, and they're kept under pressure, even though they weren't, things weren't flowing. And of course, there is an attack. And I'm fascinated with, because, it's been mentioned now, that there was, however long ago, because there was all this tension between U.S. and Europe in reference to Nord Stream 2, that the U.S. government did not want them to turn it on. So it was completed like a year ago, August, and was ready to turn on. It was tested and whatnot. It's ready to turn on. It's been under pressure, but Germany said, "Well, no, we're going to back out of this whole thing." So, we want to buy gas from you because it's a whole lot cheaper. But because the Americans want to sell us gas at a much higher price, in Europe, in England, in Germany, whatnot, and in France, they're going green, and because they started going green before they were ready, they went from, especially like Germany was trying to migrate away from coal to thing and nuclear and move to wind, solar, and natural gas, because natural gas burns clean compared to coal. And they shut down their source of natural gas because it's not local. I think they get some from Norway and Qatar, but not nowhere near and nowhere the volume and nowhere the price as what you get from Russia, because Russia has a massive, I think it's actually the majority of known natural gas in the world. Because remember, Russia is rather large, and a lot of this comes from the North Atlantic area. Wind is unstable, they're apparently started shutting down the nuclear reactors a little faster than they should have. And so they're not prepared. And prices have skyrocketed. In the UK, from what I understand, people are getting 50% to 300% increases in their utility bills. Same thing is true in other places. France is, they're the idea of don't take showers every day literally limiting your you can't make it too warm or too cold depending upon summer or winter. Which, by the way, again, one of the issues by having the smart meters, as they're called, in your home, and then of course having these really convenient things like a Nest devices that control the temperature of your heating and air conditioning. And what is the purpose behind that? Oh, to make it convenient for you, or so you can be regulated and the state can say, "I'm sorry, you want to have it at 78 degrees, we're going to limit it to 72 degrees or whatever. That is the purpose behind that. That is the fundamental purpose behind that. The convenience aspect and all the cool features and whatnot. Yeah, right. The reality is so you can be controlled. So your heating and air conditioning, just like so many other things, is being controlled by your overlords. I did also because I heard about it, so I listened to it. You know, again, I'm a weird fellow. I listened to this speech by the president or prime minister or whatever of New Zealand. This woman is a rather bit of an authoritarian person. I mean, ridiculous. You know, it was fascinating to see the people there in you know, behind the desk, the New Zealand representatives, as they were dutifully sitting there as their leader was speaking, all wearing masks. And very few in the audience were wearing, but everyone in New Zealand, because they were emphatic about that. They were the overreach of New Zealand and Australia on the COVID nightmare was ridiculous. I mean, they were gathering people and putting them in camps. Literally, they built camps specifically for that purpose in Australia, and would gather crowds and throw them in. I mean, it's a problem. But you know, I listened to her speech, and she did the typical whack at Russia in reference to Ukraine, because I mean that's the thing you have to do right now. And there's an effort to eliminate the veto power of a single country. You know, it's been this way from the beginning. But in the Security Council, every country that is a member of the Security Council has a veto power. And now that Russia has been using that, we want to stop that. I think that might backfire, though. Because who's one of the big users of the veto power? The U.S. And where do we use it? Vetoing any sanctions against the country of Israel. So if they get rid of the veto power for Russia, they get rid of the veto power for the U.S. So I really wonder if this will either backfire or because of that, it won't happen. I don't know. I found that fascinating. But, you know, the thing is, a while back, I got to leave you the link again. Somebody did, and I think I even have it on my site. Somebody did a satire that was phenomenal. And a guy... Yes. Okay. Called Remix Matrix, and this is a woman from Australia, and apparently she's no longer in office. But the way it was spliced up, it made her sound like an absolute lunatic. Simply used her words and then spliced it up in such a way to it was satire. I think it represents this woman from New Zealand very well, because she was the one who said, if you don't hear it from us, it's fake news. I mean, literally, the government is your authority. If you don't hear it from us, it's fake news. She is really strong on, we need a secure and open internet. So we have to limit hate speech is the the catch-all and whatnot and so forth, or misinformation. I talked about climate change. We got to stop the climate change deniers. You know, and again, it's the use of words. Because I've mentioned so many things. The idea again, it was global warming. Well, you go back to like the 70s. It was the coming ice age. Then it became global warming by the 90s and early 2000s. And because that didn't work, because the evidence didn't hold up, So we changed to climate change because now it works all the time because the climate constantly changes. Again, over 99% of the impact of climate change occurs because of that round ball, which right now is leaving the sky for some reason, but I'm confident it'll be there in the morning. But we want to attribute it to anthropomorphic global warming or climate change. The issue is the evidence for that is a distortion, which goes back to, there was the IPCC, International something on climate change, International Panel or whatever on climate change or whatever. And they use data from something like East Anglia University, whatever it was called. And I think it was WikiLeaks that actually released it, where they actually said, we doctored the data to make it work because it didn't work. We'll take the information and lie with the information we have. We'll twist it and present it in such a way to make it look like there's a problem. And therefore, you need us. You need the state. You need authority. Listen to us. Submit. That's what it is. Submit to your overlords. And of course, what you do now is, yes, climate does change. But to say it's changed because of man is stupid. And if you're not clear about that, you simply get labeled a climate change denier, and therefore you're a bad person. So again, it's controlling the language, which is a real problem, which obviously leads us to 1 Corinthians 8. Because one of the things that has been very much an issue is, we've discussed now for years the issue around Romans 14 in the sense of I'm not going to take, eating of pork or the drinking of wine and say that my position on that makes me superior to you. Because my position on that, whether it's yes or no, does not matter. It is not something that is going to set me in front of Christ saying, look, Christ says, we have all these things, but if you eat pork, you're not coming in here. None of that. It's not there. Nor is it if you didn't eat pork, you can't come in, or you're messed up, you've been stupid. No, none of that. The objective in Romans 14 is, it is in essence a license to be either way. It is a call for us not to divide on those issues, because those issues are more than secondary. 1 Corinthians 8 has a similar thing, and we discussed this a little bit today. This is about food offered idols, and so we went through that today. And what I don't have an answer for, and I'd be delighted to have a reasonable answer on this, is there are the issues, for example, in this case, for although there be so-called gods in heaven and earth, as indeed there are many gods, or therefore, as to eating of food offered to idols, verse 4, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. So the idea of, the whole point of this, so someone's eating, it doesn't matter to me, because I know it's a whole thing's a fallacy. But what gets down to is the last verse, verse 13. Therefore, food makes my brother stumble. I will never eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. So it's not that eating food sacrificed to idols or whatnot is going to impact me. I've used the example for years. If I sat down with somebody, either just anybody or specifically a Muslim, and we sat down and ate halal food that actually went through the process of, you know, the appropriate sacrificing as the animal was killed. Doesn't bother me at all. I have no problem with that. It doesn't bother me. But if the gentleman I'm with would find that offensive, I'm not going to do that. So, you know, what we trying to figure out, you have three restaurants. You have a restaurant that says nothing. You have a restaurant that says we offer halal food. You have a restaurant that offers, you know, that we are Christian oriented. Well, you know, like the Chick-fil-A idea, or far more overtly Christian oriented, or maybe even a fourth one that is kosher. So this is something that these restaurants promote, advertise. This is how they present themselves. In doing that, I have the freedom to eat any one of them. But if I'm either with somebody who has an issue with one of those, or if I'm in a place where it's my community and people see me go there and they have an issue with that, then I have, well, the verse 13 here to consider. Okay, so I mean that makes a lot of sense. Change the scenario a little bit. It's not food. Here's a restaurant that, you know, we offer food. Restaurant A, restaurant B offers food, and maybe wine, for example. Restaurant C offers wine, and we want you to come in to get drunk. Restaurant D offers wine, recreational drugs, and we have our bordello in the back room. So you have a variety. How does this, the 1 Corinthians 8 and even the Romans 14 apply? And again, I think there's a difference where I think... And we're trying to reason this through, trying to look at to find out whether other references in Scripture to give a clearer answer. Obviously, the nondescript should be no problem. If a place offers alcohol, just simply wine, you know, it probably has a low threshold to offend somebody. If our focus is we're a bar, we're a place to meet people for, you know, various activities and whatnot. Or, you know, a lot of people go there to get drunk. It has a different reputation. And if I go in there, that gives a different, you know, that's different. And then, of course, if I go to the place that has the whorehouse in the back, there's yet another implication. And it's different if it's my community where I do this, because then people in my community know that I'm doing this, versus if I'm traveling, for example, and the people around me don't know me. So what are the answers here? And, you know, I think clearly I have the license to go to restaurant A. I don't think I should have any issue with restaurant B, because going into a place that serves wine should not be a problem, if I'm going with somebody who would be offended by having a glass of wine. But it's not that they're, you know, it's you go in there and you simply don't have a glass of wine. That would be easy, because it's the wine is not the focus there. The focus is the food. But if you go to the restaurant where the focus is the alcohol and the getting drunk and whatnot, you might not want to go there with somebody who would be offended by that. But then you go one step further. How about even you go to a place that is just like restaurant A, except they have the whorehouse in the back. They don't serve wine. The question becomes difficult. You know, where does the 1 Corinthians 8 and the Romans 14 apply? In what way? And so these are questions we're working on. And then, of course, apply it to things that I have done. Specifically, I don't go to you know, the local health food store, Abundant Living anymore, because when I showed up there, they said, don't come in because of COVID. And, and they did all sorts of restrictions and whatnot. And I said, I'm sorry, from the beginning, I said, I've been using them for years. What you're doing is foolish. You don't want my business. And I haven't been back since. The same thing has been true, again, with Food City, which is a larger player, very large player. They have stores all over the country. And I simply don't go anymore because they had the sign out front. Customers are required to wear a mask. It's not whether or not they imposed it, but they simply said it. We don't want you unless you wear a mask. So I said, okay, you don't want me, period. I won't give business to them. In the same way, I won't knowingly buy a Nestle product because, you know, there may be the possibility I buy something and I don't realize that the company that I'm buying from is actually owned by Nestle because they don't have that name on front. So those things may occur. But, you know, things I know, for example, I love Perrier and I don't drink Perrier anymore because I won't buy from Nestle because of the slavery issue. Now, is this... I feel convinced it's not the kind of thing I need to go and try to outlaw. We cannot buy from Nestle because they are potentially the largest user of abject slave labor in the world. So I'm not going to impose a law against them. But do I publicly proclaim this? Obviously, I need to live it. If it's my conscience, I need to live it. And I have been for years. But do you proclaim it? You know, there is the Ephesians 5:11. You know, do not partake in the work of darkness, but instead expose them. Is that applicable here? I don't know. And of course, the other one we talked about is the idea of Amazon. Because Amazon has specifically said, we will pay for our employees to go across state lines in order to get an abortion. So if you're pro-life, why would you support a company that pays for the murder of a child? Kind of like, And how applicable is this? You know, and then, I find these questions fascinating, and it's important to understand that these are not questions of whether or not I'm going to stand before the Lord redeemed. If I sat down and had a pair, I don't have the bottle here, but I do. I found a different source of sparkling water. It's coming from Central America. And it's quite good. And I buy it from a local store run by Mexicans. I actually have a reputation at that store for going in and buying those, you know, which I find fascinating. To go into a store and they know what you buy. I find that really interesting. But so these issues about what you buy, what you eat, what you consume does not mean you stand before the Lord redeemed or you're toast. But it really gets down to, therefore food makes your brother stumble. I will never eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. That's a rather big deal because, you know, what is, one of the fundamentals here? Love. Love my neighbor. Love my neighbor, love the Lord, love my neighbor. And my brother is especially important. Romans 14:21, it is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. That's how you love your brother. So if somebody drinks a Perrier or buys from Amazon, it's not going to cause me to stumble. Do I point it out to them? Hey, you know that you just you know, it's at the farmer's market today, had a delightful conversation, and one of the gentlemen there used to work for Mars, you know, which is about a half mile down the road from the farmer's market. It's where they make, like I say, about half the M&Ms that are sold in the U.S. and all the Twix bars. And that comes from slave labor. And the one guy says, yeah, I can see that. But I don't want to condemn him. So the question is, what do you say and what do you not say? And, you know, it becomes important, I think, especially when it's your own family. Dear family, we're not going to have M&Ms as a snack because we do not want to look at, I have the image of the one girl that I've used before, who is in Ivory Coast harvesting cocoa and getting paid zero. There was an article I read because obviously it was a news item where a group of young guys, I think teens, I think that by the time they actually got to this point, they were early 20s, and a law firm in New York, I think, formed a class action suit against Nestle, Mars, and others. And it was thrown out by the Supreme Court because they said, well, it's not happening in the United States, so we have no jurisdiction. So, you know, but the point is, there was no denying that was happening. It was legal. No, we have no jurisdiction. So, but as a consumer, I have the right to say, I'm not going to eat an M&M because they're unhealthy, because the Mars company is extremely promotes feminism like crazy. Remarkably that crazy. And they cult, they do that too. But they use slave labor they knowingly use slave labor in purchasing their raw materials. So no, I'm sorry, I won't buy their products. I can't. But I'm not going to condemn someone who pops an M&M in their mouth. But do I let them know? And this is a struggle I've been working on for years, and I don't have a good answer even yet. Anyway, I would like it. I want to encourage others, especially my kids, obviously, to be able to wrestle with these questions. You don't condemn a brother because he does or doesn't drink wine, eat pork, worship on Saturday or Sunday, whatever. You don't condemn someone because he's pumping an M&M in his mouth or he's buying from Amazon. But the pork and wine issue, how is it related to the Amazon and M&Ms issue? I don't know. And I really want to know, because I know what I can't do. I can't knowingly buy a Nestle product. I can't eat M&Ms or any Mars products. Also, they're unhealthy. That's another issue. And I can no longer. I haven't in years anyway, but I can't buy from Amazon, even though I have a son who worked for them. Can't do that. And there's so many other issues related. I want my kids to be able to struggle with this, because it's the Prime Minister of New Zealand. It's going to be censored from you. The idea of bringing up these questions is going to be censored from you. You have to be part of the collective. The evidence that anthropomorphic climate change is a scam has to be silenced from you. Again, that's why it's the open and secure. The point of secure is we prevent false information. And we'll use terms like hate speech in order to give us the tools so we can also get disinformation. And what is disinformation? Information we say is wrong. Not because it's wrong, because we say it's wrong. So we're going to say that if you point out evidence that climate change is an act of God, not an act of man, you need to be silenced. If you point out that there's only men and women, and you can't go back and forth, you have to be silenced. If you point out various issues that are occurring in Europe or Ukraine or whatnot, or in China and so forth, that are inappropriate. Oh, okay, one other thing. I did a screen capture of the Ukrainian deputy prime minister, her comment. This can mean a prison sentence of up to 5 years, so I strongly advise the residents of the temporarily occupied territories do not take a Russian passport, do not go to referendums, do not cooperate with the occupiers. In other words, they're putting a law in place. If you vote for the separation, you can spend up to 5 years in prison. You know, again, it's the idea of, yes, we want to support democracy throughout the world where people can vote for what they want, as long as it is what they vote for agrees to what we say. If they vote for something we disagree, we'll say it's just like it was done in Venezuela, in Syria and whatnot. The vote didn't go the way we wanted it, so therefore the vote was fraudulent. We'll say fraudulent, and of course they'll do the same with what's going to happen in the Donbass and so forth. So I found that fascinating, and on that. There was a bombing. I may have mentioned this yesterday, because I have a picture of a guy who was made rather uncomfortable in the bombing. He survived. Others didn't in a building that was hit by a missile. I think it was a HIMARS, actually. So made in America. And his statement, he's laying there. He's obviously damaged, covered in all sorts of stuff, and wearing a watch. And his statement is, "Are you kidding me? It's hard to kill me. I'm 45 years old. I will live to see 100. And, obviously the argument of yeah, you live to see 100, that's Lord willing. But the attitude of, no, I'm not giving up. I think that was great, to be damaged like that and say, no, I'm not giving up. It's kind of like someone who says, I'm hated, clearly, as these postcards on the wall demonstrate. Love those, love your enemies, love those who persecute you, do good to those who despitefully use you. I'm going to seek reconciliation. I'm not going to give up, especially with my kids. Again, my assumption with my wife is the odds are pretty close to zero, but the door is open with my kids. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, in spite of the hate you show me, in spite of the absolute hate you show me, I still love you and I want you back.